Good morning. Welcome to all those that are with us. We're continuing the Shir on Likutei Halachos, Orach Chaim, Chelek Gimel, Hilchos Sukkah, Halacha Aleph, Paragraph Hey. Before we begin, I'd like to dedicate the Shir today for a complete Refuah Shelema for Yuspe Hendel Bas Gitaleya and her daughters, Avive Lana Bas Yuspe Hendel, Sarocha Bas Yuspe Hendel, and for Gavriel Shloimoy ben Edith. Shem should give them good health, simcha, and give all of us the refuas and yeshuas that all of us need, Mitzvah Shem. Rav Nosson Zal speaking about the topic of Sukkos, V'alkein, based on several chapters in Likutei Moran, right now in this next paragraph he's going to be focusing a little bit on chapter 22 in Likutei Moran, which is entitled Chosam Betoy Chosam, where Rabbeinu Zal speaks about two chosamos, two seals, a seal of the hands and a seal of the feet. And Rav Nosson Zal is going to make reference to this here. V'alkein zoichen besukos l'shivaroyim. Based on what we've been learning so far, we could understand why on Sukkos we're zoicha especially to invite the seven shepherds of the Jewish people into our sukkah, Avram, Yitzchok, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, Yosef, and David. While we mention their names, there are two versions of the order of the Shivarayim. One version is Avram, Yitzchok, Yaakov, Yosef, Moshe, Aaron, and David, going in age order. Yosef HaTzadik was before Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen. However, according to the Sifrei Kabbalah, if we follow the Midos of Hashem, the Sfirois, then it's Avram, Yitzchok, Yaakov, who are Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, then Moshe and Aaron, who are Netzach and Hoid, Yosef is Yesoid, number 6, and then Dovra Melech is Malchus. So Rav Nosson Zal says, based on what we're learning here, we understand why on Sukkos we're zeichet to connect with these seven shepherds, Sheboim betoich haSukkah, who come into the Sukkah with us. The Zohar HaKadosh speaks about this, and the Zohar HaKadosh says that in order to really be assured of having their presence in the Sukkah, it's very beneficial if a person can have a guest. Because if a person has a guest, the portion of food that we're giving to the guest, that portion represents the portion of the shepherd of that day. Ki sukkah hu b'chinas makifin, because as we learned previously, the sukkah represents the concept of makifin, that sechel which is not yet inside the head of a person, but rather it surrounds the person like a halo, like a sukkah. Shezoichen lehem, which we are zoichet to on this holiday. V'hamakif hu b'chinas nishma, k'mo shemuva b'maymer hachosamos. The makif is associated with nishma, as is presented in chapter 22 in Likutei Moran. There, Rabbeinu Zal speaks about nase v'nishma, and the nase v'nishma represent Torah and Tefillah, and they also represent pnimi and makif, so that the makif is associated with nishma. As Rabbeinu Zal says there, sheyesh bechinas nase v'nishma. V'nishma hu bechinas ma she'ein mevinim. V'nishma refers to that which we don't yet fully understand. Nase refers to that which is closer to us, which we do understand. Sheze bechinas makif. So nishma is associated with makif. V'hu bechinas tefila, which corresponds to tefila, bechinas yira, which is synonymous with yira. A person's tefillah is a display of their yira shamayim. Isha yira sashem hi tis halol. Tefillah is associated with yira. Bechinas bereshis, which is associated with the statement of bereshis, which the Tikkuni Zohar says makes up the words yirei shabbos, yirei boishis. Shekol zehu bechinas sukkah. All of this is related to sukkah. Ki sukkah hu bechinas makif, because as we said before, sukkah is associated with this makif. Bechinas yira, which is synonymous with tefillah, we said, which is yira. Kihu Bechinas Yaakov, because Sukkos also corresponds to Yaakov. Pesach is Avram Avinu, Shavuos is Yitzchak, Sukkos is Yaakov. Vehu Bechinas Tfila Kanal, and we saw earlier that Yaakov Avinu represented Shlemus HaTfila, the bias, the base Tfila. Gamhu Bechinas Shabbos, and its Sukkos is also associated with Shabbos. Bechinas Bereshis, Yorei Shabbos. Ubechinas Nas Venishma, Ubechinas Simcha. You'll observe that in this paragraph, Rav Nosson Zal is being very brief, very sharp. This is again a Halacha Aleph, which Rav Nosson Zal wrote. Are you able to hear me? Please acknowledge if you can hear me.
Yes, Rav Nosson, loud and clear.
Thank you.
Yes.
Okay. I was saying that in this paragraph, Rav Nosson Zal is being very brief and sharp, which unfortunately, sometimes in the Halacha Alephs, which he wrote in his earliest years, when he first became close to Rabbeinu Zal, his writing style is much different than it is in the later Halachas. So here he's being very clipped. He's speaking to somebody who's familiar with chapter 22 in Likutei Moharan, where Rabbeinu Zal presents these 15 different concepts, and Rav Nosson Zal is connecting each one of them to Sukkah. So now Rav Nosson Zal says, Ubechinas Na'aseh V'Nishma, Ubechinas Simcha. The concept of Na'aseh V'Nishma is associated with Simcha. K'mo shekosuv shom kol zeh, as Rabbeinu Zal writes all of this over there in chapter 22, Ayin Shom. We know the Gemara tells us that when Klal Yisrael said the words Na'aseh V'Nishma, 1,200,000 malachim came down and placed crowns, two crowns on the head of each Jew, one crown for Na'aseh and one crown for Nishma. And we know that the crown is associated with Simcha. There's a pasuk, V'simchas Oilam al Roisham, eternal joy on their heads, al Roisham, like the crown. So Keser is always associated with Simcha. So Na'aseh V'Nishma is an aspect of Simcha. V'zeh Bechinas Simchas HaChag, and this is associated with the joy of the holiday of Sukkos, Zman Simchasenu. And Rabbeinu Zal writes over there in Likutei Moharan, in that chapter, that in order for a person to come close to the seven, to the tzaddikim, who are represented by the shepherds, we need Azus Digdusha. Rabbeinu Zal quotes the pasuk, Nehalta Ve'ozcha El Neve Kotshecha, that in order to come close to the domain of holiness, a person needs Oiz, Azus Digdusha. And Rabbeinu Zal says there that the way a person gets Azus Dikdusha is through Simcha. The Pasuk says, Ki chedvas Hashem hi mo'uzchem. Joy with Hashem, that is your strength. So again, Simcha leads to Azus Dikdusha. Azus Dikdusha leads to closeness to the tzaddikim, which is these shivaroyim, Shehem Klolius Hakdusha, who represent the full spectrum of holiness. K'mo shekosuv shom, as Rabbeinu Zal writes over there in chapter 22 in Likutei Moharan. V'alkein, and therefore, al yedei sukkah bo'en shivaroyim kanal. Through the mitzvah of sukkah, which represents all of these things, the simcha and the makif and everything, this invites the shivaroyim, the seven shepherds. Now the parentheses, Ki sukkah hu bechinas nishma, because as we said before, sukkah corresponds to nishma, bechinas haskes u shema Yisrael. There's a pasuk that says, haskes, hearken, listen carefully, and listen, Jewish people. We see the association between haskes, sukkah, and shema, nishma. Ubigmar hasukkos, and at the end of the holiday of sukkos, anu oisin hoishana rabbah, we celebrate the holiday of Hoshana Rabbah. She'oz na'aseh choysom hachitzoin. That's when the outer seal that Rabbeinu Zal speaks about there in chapter 22 in Likutei Moharan is generated. Shehu Chosam Hayodin, which is the seal of the hands, Bechinas Emuna, which corresponds to Emuna. The Pasuk says, Vayehi Yodav Emuna. Moshe Rabbeinu's hands were extended in a display of faith, in prayer. Kihu Nase Al Yedei HaSukkah. Because this outer seal is generated through the mitzvah of Sukkah, Sha'al Yoda Boin L'Shivaroyim, which is what brings us close to the seven shepherds, Sha'al Yodom Zoichin Le'emuna, and the main mission of the tzaddikim is to teach us Emuna, faith in Hashem. The Pasuk says, Shechon Eretz Ure'ei Emuna, be nourished with faith. Ure'ei is also Miloshin Roye, shepherd. So the shepherds, their mission is Emuna, to shine Emuna into Klal Yisrael. In fact, it's important to note that in Halacha, in Shulchan Aruch, in Yoredeya, where it speaks about respect for one's rabbi, there's a whole discussion there based on the Gemara as to who is one's rabbi, who is a person's official rabbi. There's a rabbi and there's Rabbi Muvhak, the main, most important rabbi in a person's life. And there are different opinions on it, but the conclusion over there in Halacha is that rabbi, the real rabbi of a person, is the one who teaches the person emuna, faith in Hashem, hashkafa, the rabbi who gives the person the proper understanding of how our relationship to Hashem should function correctly. So Rav Nosson Zal says, through Sukkah we get to the Shivaroyim, Shal Yodom Zoichin Le'emuna, through whom we achieve emuna, bechinas choisam hachitzoin, which is that outer seal, the seal of the hands. V'alkein, and therefore, bein yom hakipurim lohishana rabba oisin sukkos, between Yom Kippur and Oishana Rabba, we build and perform the mitzvah of sukkah. Ki b'yom hakipurim nase ikara choisam hapnimi. Because on Yom Kippur is when the inner seal is being generated, which is the seal of the feet, as Rabbeinu Zal explains it over there in chapter 22 in Likud Yimran. Uchidei lasois choisam hachitzoin. However, in order to generate the outer seal, which protects the inner seal, shehu bechinas emuna, the outer seal is emuna. Kidei lishmar choisam hapnimi, in order to protect that inner seal, shelo yiskalkel, that it shouldn't be damaged, alkein oisin sukkois. Therefore, we build sukkois, we perform the mitzvah sukkah, shal yoda zoichin le'emuna, which brings us, helps us achieve emuna, which is that outer seal, vazai nase bigmar hasukkois, choisam achitzoin boishana rabba. And then, at the end of the holiday of Sukkot, on the sixth day, is when we generate that outer seal. On Oishana Rabba. Now, Rav Nosson Zal adds a short appendix related to something he mentioned earlier. Shayach Le'el, related to what we said above, V'alkein, and therefore, Afilu ein hamechitzois magiois l'schach, even if the walls of the sukkah do not reach all the way up to the roof of the sukkah, to the schach, meaning that the schach is on its own platform, let's say, or the schach is attached somehow to the building. And under the schach, you have walls, you have four walls or three walls, whatever it is that's kosher, but the walls do not reach all the way up to the schach. There's a space in between. Rak shehamechitzo is gevoyim yud. However, the walls of the sukkah are at least 10 tefachim high. It's kosher, ksheira. Ki avir rishus hayochid oile ad horot lokirakia. Because the Gemara tells us that the domain, a private domain, once I established a rishus hayochid, a private domain, which is established by having walls being enclosed to a height of 10 tefachim, that becomes a Rishus HaYochid, we picture those walls as extending all the way up to heaven. Ki lemala miyud ein shom bechinas Rishus HaRabim. Because above, once you go above 10 tefachim, there is no longer Rishus HaRabim. The Rishus HaRabim only is down here, all the way down on earth, up to a height of 10 tefachim. Ki reshus harabim eino yoyle rak ad yud. Al kein, therefore, me'achar she'oso lemato mechitzois gavoyois yud, because the person built walls that are down below, that reach to the ground, that are high enough, that are 10 tefachim high, kedei levatel reshus harabim, in order to take away the status of reshus harabim from the location where he's putting the sukkah, velizkois lebechinas reshus hayochid, and to turn it into a private domain, or reshus hayochid, azai hakedusha hoileches ad lamalo. Then the holiness continues to go, to extend all the way up, af she'en shom mechitzos, even though the walls end at a height of 10 tefachim. Ki lemala miyud ein shom shlitas reshus harabim. Because above the height of 10 tefachim, the reshus harabim has no power, has no association. The question was raised whether these seven shepherds correspond to these seven openings of the head. It would seem yes, it would seem definitely, because they represent, they are the tzaddikim, and the tzaddikim are the Torah, are the light of Hashem. We receive Hashem's light through the tzaddikim, and we receive this light via, it enters into us via these seven openings of the head. Baruch Hashem. Any questions, please?
Yes, Rav Nosson, good morning. What's the relevance of this last keter we just read now on the Rishus HaYachid Ole La'ad HaRakim in practical Vodas Hashem? Because Rav Nosson Zal's mentioned, connected all the dimensions of the sukkah previously up to now with practical applications, and this one over here, it's a concept without, I think it's...
True. Rav Nosson Zal's showing us, in a sense, that this issue of the Rishus HaYochid, the domain in which the presence of Hashem is stronger, is defined by criteria we mentioned before. It's got to be at least 4 amos in length and width, and it's got to be a height of at least 10 tefachim. Now, Rav Nosson Zal spoke earlier about 10 amos and 20 amos. When he was speaking about the maximum height that the schach is allowed to be, the maximum height of a sukkah, which he said was 20 amos, he explained that the 20 amos corresponds to the two seichels, the seichel hapnimi and the seichel hamakif. And those are the two yuds. And above that is out of bounds. Above that, a person is not allowed to go. So Rav Nosson Zal showed us how these dimensions are very significant in how they relate to us. Now he wants us to know that there is a kula here. There is something that a person wouldn't necessarily assume to be the case. A person would think that in order for the place to have this power, this kedusha of the presence of Hashem, the four letters of Hashem's name, Yud Kei Vav Kei, and the 10 letters of the Milui, that it has to be completely enclosed. It has to be visually completely enclosed. And Rav Nosson Zal is telling us here that's not the case. He's teaching us something about Rishus HaYochid versus Rishus HaRabim. That the Rishus HaRabim, which is usually referred to as the domain of the Sitra Achra, it's only up to a certain height. Once you go beyond that height, it's no longer defined as Rishus HaRabim, period. And all the faults, all the flaws of Rishus HaRabim do not apply there. And therefore, when a person establishes mechitzos that are 10 tefachim high, even which have a certain power, and the schach has a certain power, and you might think that they must be connected, he's telling us that no, it's not. They must be visually connected. The answer is no. That there are times when a person does a certain effort, the person makes a certain amount, and Hashem says that we extend it in an imaginary way all the way up to heaven. You have an example of this in Avodas Hashem, where a person is told to do what you can. You're only required to do as much as you can. The rest Hashem takes care of. We know when it comes to Bedikas Chometz, The Gemara speaks about a case where the person has a wall and there's a hole in the wall, and animals might have gotten into the other side and there might be chametz there. So the Gemara says you're required to put your hand in ad sheyodoy magas. As far as your hand reaches, you're required to put your hand in there and to check for chametz and to remove it. Beyond that, your beetle, your nullification works. It's okay. We find in the case of Basio Basparoi, we're told that she came to the edge of the river, to Toivel, and she saw the box in which Moshe Rabbeinu had been placed. She heard crying. Now, there was no way, seemingly, that she could reach it. And yet, the Torah tells us she extended her hands, she extended her arm, and she brought the box in. And we're told that a miracle took place, that her hand reached out further, it extended out in order to get all the way to the box. And the Sforim HaKdoshim tell us that there's a very important message here, that when a person is trying to attain a goal that seems unattainable, Kent, as long as you do what you can, as much as you can, if it's at all possible for you to attain that goal, Hashem will take care of the rest. It'll happen. So here we're seeing an example where we're defining domains, and there's laws of Shabbos that have a death penalty of skill involved. And we're told that as long as you put up the wall 10 tfachim high, which means 30 or 40 inches high, as long as you did that, you've already enclosed enough of an area that Hashem says, the rest I'll take care of. Going all the way, extending it all the way up to heaven, it's still considered that domain of Rishus HaYochid that has this extra divine protection, this Shmira.
Thank you, Rav Moshe.
Sure.
Can the Rav perhaps explain why do we need 10 Tfachim for Rishus HaYochid and 7 or 6 are not enough?
The Gemara says, Ein Kedusha Pachos Miyud.
Oh, we don't hear.
Sorry. Are you able to hear me now, please?
No, barely.
Wow. I wonder. So, are the others able to hear, please?
Yeah, now, yes. Yes, now.
Okay. I don't know if it's a problem with the internet.
No,
or something.
Again, not.
Wow. Now, able to hear?
Yeah.
Okay. The Gemara makes a statement, Ein Kedusha Pachos Miyud, that there is no holiness less than 10. That generally, the domain of holiness, generally you need 10 for Kedusha, for holiness, to be able to recite Kaddish, to be able to recite Kedusha, everything you need 10. The Tikkunei Zohar says, I'll show you one of the reasons why. Because when you have 10, let's follow this for a moment. You have 1, then you add a second one. The second one is 2, the third one is 3. When you follow the numbers, 1 to the power of 1, 2 to the power of 2, 3 to the power of 3, 1 times 1 is 1, 2 times 2 is 4, 3 times 3 is 9, 4 times 4 is 16. If you add it up, going up to 10, the numerical value, 10 times 10 is 100, it adds up to 385, which is the word Shekhinah, the divine spirit of Hashem. This is one of the Ramazan to show us that when there are 10 people, when there's 10 Tfachim, it defines a certain amount of Kedusha, holiness.
But what's the concept behind here? Okay, that's gematria, but what does it mean?
We know the midos of Hashem are 10. Kaviyochel Hashem is defined by 10. Keser, Chochma, Bina, Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes.
So it needs a koma shlema, in other words, the seven midot is not enough.
Correct.
It needs also the mochin.
Exactly. There are some times when 7 is enough, there are some times when we go for the full 10. In all kinds of different areas of Yiddishkeit, different mitzvahs.
So Yerushut HaYachid requires the entire koma.
Correct.
Correct?
Yes.
Rabbi, it sounds like when we're talking about Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and we know that there's unlimited amounts of dangers in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. And so what Rav Natan is telling us is that it's kind of make a top 10. Get the top 10 things, make sure that you're taking care of the most important things, the things that are closest to the Sidracha. Make sure you're putting up boundaries around those things. And then, and the rest of it, we have to have Emunah and Hashem that He's going to help us.
Could be. This number 10 associates to the 10 spheroids, these midos that we try to work on. We try to emulate Hashem in these 10 areas. Okay, let's continue. Yes, somebody made mention of the fact that on Chanukah is one of the exceptions to the rule where we're told that we light the Chanukah menorah below 10 tefachim. And that's the one time a year when the Shekhinah comes down beyond where it normally does. Usually we're told that the Shekhinah does not come within 10 tefachim of the ground. Chanukah is an exception where Hashem goes way beyond. Regarding the Raboi Mufok, the sources, the Shulchan Aruch, Yoredeya, could be there. They'll quote these sources in the Gemara also for it. I believe it's discussed in Masechta Kiddushin. Halacha Beis. Uveyoyim Rishon Shel Sukkos Maschilen Litoil Halulav Im Ha'arba Minim. On the first day of Sukkos, we start taking the Lulav and the other three Minim, Shehem Bechinas Tikkun Habris. And these Dalet Minim are associated with Tikkun Habris, Kimuva Besforim, as is brought in Sifrei Chasidus. Sheze Bechinas Chai Nianuin Shebelulav. This is one of the reasons why we shake the lulav a total of 18, to each set is 18 shakings. We're shaking it in six directions, east, west, north, and south, and up and down, that's six, and three times in each direction. We extend the lulav out and back in, three times. Three times six is 18, which is chai, which is a number that's associated with the sphere of yesoid. Bechinas tzadik chai almen. The tzadik, who is the mid of yesoid, is called many times throughout the Zohar Kodesh Tzadik Chai Almen, the Tzadik who gives life to the worlds. Bechinas, as the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Tzadik Katomor Yifroch, that the Tzadik will blossom like the Tomor, like the palm tree, which is again the Lulav. We know the Lulav comes from the palm tree. So again, we see that the Lulav is associated with Tzadik, which is the union of Tikkun HaBris. V'alkein maschilen litoloisen b'yoyim rishon shel sukkos. And this is why we start taking these Dalet Minim on the first day of Sukkos. Kedei lekayim es hasukkah. In order to give support to our sukkah, sheloi tipol chas v'shon, so that our sukkah should not fall spiritually or physically. Bechinas, we see in Yiddishkeit that there is a concept of a fallen sukkah. Bechinas sukkas David hanoifoles. The pasuk speaks about the sukkah of David that is fallen. We know that we're going to see that sukkah is also associated with malchus, and we know the malchus sometimes is uplifted and sometimes it's in a fallen state. Sheze nase chas v'shalom al yedei shematizin hadamim shel hashisa gidin sheheim hashisa loisase l'toy chamoyach. Now Rav Nosson Zal is starting to make reference to chapter 29 in Likutei Moran, where Rabbeinu Zal speaks about the fact that we know that the human body corresponds to the Torah. The Torah has positive mitzvahs and negative mitzvahs, 248 positive commandments, 365 negative ones. In the body, we have 248 evorim, organs, and we have 365 tendons. Tendons or blood vessels through which the blood travels. And over there in chapter 29 in Likutei Moharan, Rabbi Nizal discusses this movement of the blood in the body, that sometimes, chas v'shalom, if a person transgresses the negative commandments in the Torah, Eloisa says, which means they damage these gidin, these 365 gidin, what happens is these gidin shoot blood at the brain, towards the brain. Shematizin hadamim shel hashesa gidin, the blood inside these 365 gidin, shehem hashesa loisase, which correspond to the 365 negative commandments in the Torah, the blood shoots into the moyach, into the brain. Shemizeh bo chas v'shalom choli noifel. And this is one of the main causes of epilepsy, the sickness of epilepsy, where a person, chas v'shalom, falls. It's called choli noifel because generally it causes the person to fall down. Bechinas sukas David hanoifoles. Speaking about this concept of a fallen sukkah. V'chol zeh al yedei heder tikkun abris. And all of these problems are caused by a lack of tikkun abris. Ayin kol zeh b'maymar hanal hamaschil haimon deboi lemin savitza. Look this over in chapter 29 in Likutei Moharan, where Rabbi Nizal there elaborates on the topic of tikkun abris and the 365 gidin and the epilepsy. Now Rav Nosson Zal continues, Alkein noitlen ho'arboa minim shebelulav, and this is why we take these dalid minim that are with the lulav, shehem bechinas tikkun abris. They represent tikkun abris. How? Shehuz zoyrek tikkunim v'lavnunis l'chol hashesa gidin. Rabbi Nizal explains over there in Likutei Moharan chapter 29 that the name of Hashem associated with bris is Shakai. There's a pasuk, Ani Kel Shakai Prey Urevei. We know that in Kaddish, the word V'yiskadash, Yiskadal V'yiskadash, the word Yiskadash is made up of the name of Hashem Shakai, Shin Dalet Yud, and the letters Tuf Kuf, which are the milui of the Shem Shakai. That's the name of Hashem that's associated with Kedusha, with Tikkun Abris. And the word Shodi also means to shoot. Rabbi Nizal explains over there in Likutei Moharan, we know that one of the symbols of Tikkun Abris is the bow and arrow, the keshes. It's called keshes habris. When a person sees a rainbow in the sky that's called keshes, they make a bracha zoicher habris. Hashem remembers the covenant. So the bris is associated with this name of Hashem Shakai, which means to shoot. And Rabbi Nizal shows over there in Likutei Moharan that when a person is zoichet to tikkun abris is referred to as whiteness, purity, the opposite of red, the opposite of Esav, Edoim, the Sitrachra. So this tikkun abris shoots whiteness into the 365 Gidin. Instead of the red representing Midas Hadin, Tuma, it shoots whiteness. It's tikkunim and whiteness into all the 365 Gidin. V'alkei v'alidei zeh onu soimchin v'soyadin u'meirimin es hasukah. And this enables us to give support and to lift up the sukkah, Sheloi tipol chas v'shalom, so that it shouldn't fall. V'alkein heim arbo minim, and this is why there are four species that we take, keneged arbo bigdei lovan, corresponding to the four white garments of the Kohen Gadol that he wore on Yom Kippur, shenim shochem al yedeim, which are drawn from them, from these dalet minim, al yedei shemeirimin hamoichin, by elevating our seichel, umekaymen es hasukanal, and thereby support the sukkah. Over there in Likutei Moharan in chapter 29, Rabbi Nizal, that's one of the places where Rabbi Nizal speaks about the fact that through tikkun abris, we elevate our moichin, our seichel. The tikkun abris is the liquid, the oils of the body that nourish the brain, the candle, which is the brain, the seichel. Shemishom Nimshach Lavnunis. And it's from the brain that we draw this whiteness. The brain is called the white matter of the brain, the Libuna Demoicha. Bibchinas Dam Nekar Venase Cholov. As the Gemara has this expression of blood changing into milk, the red changing into whiteness. Shezeh Bechinas HaSukkah. And this is also associated with Sukkah. Shehi Bechinas Im Labino Tikra. The Sukkah is associated with the sphere of Bina, Bebechinas, as the Pasuk says, Tisukeni Bebeten Imi. Hashem, you covered me up, like in a sukkah, in my mother's womb. So we see again that the sukkah is associated with the mother, which is Bina. Sheshom Bechinas Imla Bina. That's where we have this concept of the mother, Bina. Bechinas Sukkah. Sheshom Hadom Nekar V'Nasecholov. It's by the mother. When a mother gives birth, that's when this blood changes into milk. It's within this sphere of Bina, which is the source of Din, that's where this procedure is initiated, of the red turning into white. Shemizeh nasim begodim levonim. This is what generates those white garments. White representing purity, not having any stains on it. Ukenegev zeh noitlin arbo aminim shebelulav. And corresponding to these four white garments, we take these four species on Sukkos. Keneged arbo bigdei lovon shenas nal yodom. V'alkein maschilin litoil halulav b'yoyim rishon shel Sukkos. And this will also explain why we take the lulav right away on the first day of Sukkos. Ki binyan hasukkah v'hakomoso nasa al yidei hakoyach hislabnus v'avoynois. Because the building and establishment of the sukkah is achieved through the whitening of the sins that takes place on Yom Kippur, through the Tikkun HaBris that we spoke about in previous halachas on Yom Kippur. This is what enables us to build the sukkah. V'alkein tekef b'moitzo yom ha-kippurim maschilim lasuk b'sukkah miyad. And this is why it's brought in halacha, that one of the customs is that immediately after Yom Kippur, we come home from shul, we grab a bite, and right away we go out to start building the sukkah. V'chol ho'arbo yomim shebein yom ha-kippurim l'sukkos oiskin b'binyona. And throughout the 4 days between Yom Kippur and Sukkos, were involved in building the sukkah. Rav Nosson Zal lived almost 200 years ago when it took time. Everything wasn't ready-made, turnkey like we have today, where there are people who put up their sukkah just by pressing a button. Ki b'chol eilu ho'arbo yomim ein mechashven bohem ho'avoynos. Because the Medrash tells us that these 4 days between Yom Kippur and Sukkos, Hashem does not count sins, because the Jews are so busy with mitzvahs. They're busy putting up the sukkah, they're busy shopping for the lulav and the esrig and the dasman arovois. So those days, there's no sins. V'alkein heim arbo yomim, and now we understand also why there are specifically 4 days, keneged arbo bigdei lovan, corresponding to the four white garments of the Kohen Gadol, shenim shochem b'yom ha-kippurim, which we draw from on Yom Kippur, shal yedehem nimshach halavnunis l'chol eilu harbo yomim. And it's from those four white garments that we draw whiteness and purity into these 4 days. V'alkein ein mechashon b'em avoynos. And that's why the Medrash says that Hashem does not count sins on these days at all. And this is why we're involved on all of these 4 days in building the sukkah. Here again, this might be a word of advice, even for those whose sukkah gets put up relatively easy, to at least try during those 4 days to look to add something, a decoration, adjusting the schach, to be having somewhat of an involvement in the mitzvah sukkah during those 4 days. ki oz yesh lanu koyach livnoy sasuko lahakimo al yidei hislapnu savoynes vadomen. Because it's during those 4 days that we have the ability to build a sukkah, to establish it spiritually also, through the whitening of the sins and the blood. V'alkein b'yoyim rishon shel sukkahs, she'oz hu rishon lecheshbon avoynos, alkein onu yireim shel yizgabru avoynos. And there, this is why on the first day of sukkahs, which the Medrash says is the first day when Hashem starts counting sins. So therefore, we're concerned shelo yizgabru hu avoynos bechinas hadomim lehapil bechinas hasukah hashom, that our sins that weren't yet completely repaired, chas v'shalom, shouldn't rise up and try to topple the sukkah, to bring down the sukkah. Alkein noitlin hu abo aminim. This is why we take the lulav esrog hadas marovos, shal yodom soimchen sukkas David. They add support to the sukkah, which is called sukkas David, shaloi tipol chasrom, so that it shouldn't fall. Ubishvil ze oimrim halel im halulav. Now Rav Nosson Zal explains why during the prayer, we know we make the bracha on the lulav and esrog separately, you know, at one point in time. But then during the tefillah of Shachris, when we say Hallel, that's when we take the Dalet Minim again, and we shake them at certain places during Hallel. Ki ha-Hallel hu bechinas tikun ha-kloli shel hadibur. Because the Hallel prayer represents the complete tikun, the general tikun of speech. Bebechinas, as it says in the pasuk, Borchu Hashem Malochov, bless Hashem, you angels. Dehainu al yidei shevach tzadikoi sheloilam vehiluloi, by praising the tzadik of the world, which is Hashem. Al yidei ze nistaken hadibur, this perfects our speech. Kama shekosu shom b'maimran al, as Rabbeinu Zal speaks about this over there in chapter 29 in Likut Imran. In that chapter, Rabbeinu Zal speaks about a few types of tikkun akloli. He speaks about a general tikkun for speech. He speaks about a general tikkun for money. And he speaks about a general tikkun, a tikkun akloli, for the entire body, which is tikkun abris. And when Rabbeinu Zal speaks in the beginning of that chapter on the Kutaran, where he speaks about tikkun hadibur, because he says there, not every dibur is a dibur. There are people who talk and talk and they say nothing. There are people sometimes who go to a lecture and they walk out, what did he say? I don't know. He didn't really say anything. What do you mean? He spoke for 45 minutes. Yes, he spoke for 45 minutes, but he didn't really say anything. I don't know what he said, or I didn't come out with anything tangible at all. So Rabbeinu Zal writes there in the Likut Imran that in order for a dibur to be considered a dibur, it must have das. If the dibur is coming from a place of intellect, sechel, then it's considered dibur. And Rabbeinu Zal goes on to say, in order for a person to elevate their das, to expand the das, so that it should go into the dibur, the way one achieves that is by praising tzaddikim. And Rabbeinu Zal shows this from psukim. And now Rav Nosson Zal is telling us once again that when we're reciting Hallel, that's one of the most spectacular praises of the tzaddik, which is Hashem, who is called tzaddikoi shel olam. V'alkein noitlin oz halulav. And that's why we take the lulav and the other species during Hallel, shehu gam kein bechinas tikun hakloli shel hagidin. Because we said that the lulav, which represents, comes from the palm tree, the tzaddik katomor, the lulav, which is like a rifle shoots, the lulav shoots tikkunim, that's the bris kodesh, that shoots tikkunim to all 365 evorim, it shoots whiteness into all 365 evorim, that's why we take the lulav during Hallel, because Hallel is the tikkun akloli for dibur, the lulav and the dalet minim is the tikkun akloli for the entire person, for the entire body. Ki kol bechinas tikkunim hakloliim hamavurim shom b'maimar, because Rav Nosson Zal says all the different tikkun haklolis that Rabbeinu Zal speaks about over there in chapter 29 in Likud Imran, we said that there are three tikkun haklolis. The tikkun haklolis for speech, the tikkun haklolis for money, the tikkun haklolis for the entire body. Tluyim ze boze. All three of these tikkun haklolis are connected to each other. Kidemashma shom b'maimer hanal. As it seems from that chapter in Likud Imran, a person who studies it. V'hoikar. But again, the most important tikkun haklolis is toloi b'tikkun habris. Is tikkun habris shehu klolis hagidin. That organ is referred to as a composite of all the other parts of the body. Shehu ikar klal kol hatikunim. That is the main one of all the tikkunim. V'zeh, this is what the pasuk says, Borchu Hashem malochov, giboirei koyach, oisei devoroi, lishmoya b'koil devoroi. Bless Hashem, you powerful angels, who create the word of Hashem to hear the word of Hashem. So we see that the tikkun hadibur comes from the giboirei koyach, and we know the Gemara says ezel gibor hakoyvesh yitzroi, that gevura is referred to especially to tikkun habris, the union of gevuras gever, the strength of a person. Sheper shoy rabbeinu neiro yoyer al tikkun haklolis shel hadibur al yidei borchu Hashem. Over there in Likud Imran, Rabbeinu Zal explained that this pasuk that we just quoted, Baruch Hashem Malochov, is referring to the tikkun haklolis of speech. How? By praising Hashem. So earlier in the Torah, he spoke about praising the tzaddik, and in that same Torah, he makes reference to praising Hashem. Ayin Sham, look over there in Likud Imran. V'zeh shekosuv ba'posuk malochov giboirei koyach. And this is why in the pasuk there it uses the term angels who are very powerful. Shehem bechina shomrei habris. This refers to those tzaddikim who are outstanding in shmiras habris. As the Zohar HaKadosh says, inun demizgabrin al yitzreihoin. This refers to those tzaddikim, those religious people who overpower their yetzahara for pegam habris. De damyon lemalochim mamish. They are compared to angels, literally. V'oisan daika, and it's those people who are strong in tikkun habris, yecholin l'saken hadibur al yidei shevach tzadikos shel olam. They have the ability to perfect and correct their speech by praising the tzadik of the world, meaning by praising Hashem, as in reciting Hallel. Ki zeh tolui bozeh. Because these two tikkuns are dependent on each other, the tikkun habris and the tikkun of dibur. V'zeh b'chinas netilas halulav, shehu b'chinas tikkun habris, klolis hagidin, b'shas amiras halel. And with this we could understand again why we take the lulav and the other minim, which is tikkun habris, during when we say halel, shu shevach Hashem yisborah, shu tikkun hadibur, Kishnehem bechinas tikkun haklolis, because both of these, praising a tzaddik or praising Hashem, number one, and number two, tikkun habris, each one of these is a tikkun haklolis. V'toloi ze bozeh, and they're dependent on each other. V'yalkein, and therefore, hanianuim, the shakings of the lulav, shehem ikra mitzvah, which are the main mitzvah that we do with these four species, heim behoidu tchila v'soif. In Hallel, in the Hallel prayer, where we shake the lulav, is at the beginning, is towards the middle of Hallel, at the middle or towards the third quarter of the Hallel, approximately, when we begin with hoidu, the beginning of hoidu over there, and at the end of it, by ono Hashem oishiyono. Ki hoidu l'Hashem shehu ikar shevach tzadikoi shel olam. Because that sentence, hoidu l'Hashem ki toiv ki loylam chazdoi, is one of the most outstanding praises of Hashem, the tzadik of the world. Al kein oz ikar mitzvah lulav shem ani anuim. That's why it's at that point that we perform the main mitzvah of the lulav, which is the shaking. Ki ani anuim heim ikar tikkun habris. because at the point in time when we shake the lulav in the different, that's what really affects Tikkun HaBris. V'alkein heim shisha, and that's why we shake the lulav and other minim in six directions. L'chol hashisha k'savois, sheze b'chinas Tikkun HaBris, shu b'chinas vav. Tikkun HaBris is usually referred to by the letter vav, the letter vav of yud kei vav kei, which represents chesed through yesoid, or just the mid of yesoid. Remember, Yosef had tzaddik, his name is bigematria six times yud kei vav kei, that vav. Uvechol kotze shloishen yanuim, and in each direction we shake three times, shebein kulam chayin yanuim, which adds up to a total of 18, bechinas tzaddik chay almen, corresponding to the tzaddik, the mid of yesoid, which is referred to as chai, ukemuva, as is brought in the writings of the Arizal. Ki halulov hu bechinas klei hamilchama lenatzeach ulehizgaber ala shivim umois, because the lulav represents the weapons that we use to defeat and overpower the 70 nations which are against us. As is written in the Zohar HaKadosh. The Zohar HaKadosh says that a Jew carrying his lulav and esrog and hadassim is carrying his rifle and his grenade. That's the terminology that's used in the Zohar HaKadosh. It doesn't use rifle and grenade, but it says these are our weapons, our klei milchama, mani kreva it's called. And the Zohar HaKadosh says, man notzach, who is the victor? The one who holds his weapon in his hands. We know after a battle, the ones who lost the battle have their weapons taken away from them. The one holding their weapons up in their hands shows victory. So after Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, after all of that tshuva, we go into Sukkot, where we hold our weapons in our hands to show that we believe our prayers were victorious. We succeeded in overpowering our prosecutors and our judgment was favorable. Hainu shal yodoi menatzchin umizgabrin al hora hakoilel shel hashivim umois. It's through the lulav and the dalet minim that we defeat and overpower the worst evil, the evil that's all 70 nations put together, which is pigam habris, taivas niyuf. V'zoichin letikin habris shu tikin haklali kanal, shu b'china shakai. Sheshodei v'yoyrei kecheitz tikunim L'kol mekoymei satsorim vadakim. As Rabbeinu Zal shows over there in Likut Imran, that the bris kodesh is what shoots tikkunim and whiteness into all the different narrow places where it's needed. V'zeh b'chinas hanianuim, shemenanim v'zorkim klei melchama l'chol tzad v'tzad. This is the concept of the shaking and throwing the weapons in all the directions, symbolically, ubetzideit stodim, and not just in each one of four directions, but in all the in-betweens also. Lechavein klei milchama. This is the concept of aiming and directing our weapons, our mortar shells, our bullets. Lihiois koilei al asaira, to strike the target. Kedei lenatzchom, in order to defeat them, ulachniyom b'chol mokem shein, to defeat our enemies wherever they are. Vaydeze biatzmoi nizrokim hatikunim l'chol atzdodim l'chol mokem istatzorim v'adakim kanal. And again, through this mitzvah, we throw tikunim in all the directions and in all the narrow places where they need to reach. Sheze gamkein b'chinas hanianuim, shemenanim v'zorkim tikunim l'chol tzidei tzodim chin ha-shakai, ki ze toli boze. Because these two are dependent on each other, meaning, al yidei hizgabrus v'nitzochen ha-melchama, by a Jew strengthening himself to overpower his yetzahara, his evil inclination, those wrong desires. And by winning that battle, shezeu ikra tikun, shubchin ha-tshuva samishkol mamish, which means real tshuva, which means where the person does a tshuva that's directly related to the sin that they committed, aydeze nizrokin tikunim l'chol mekoymois hadakim. That shoots tikunim to all the narrow places, sometimes where a person would say it's hard to get in there and clean. When a person wants to clean their teeth or other things where there are slight, tiny little spaces between, and sometimes it's hard to get in there. So when we want to evacuate the sitrachra, there's doing it on a general level, and then there's going into all the crevices and the nooks and crannies and cleaning out the tumah from there. V'zeh b'chinas halulav, shehu oile u'mushba. This is the concept of a lulav, which rises and becomes narrow. U'mushba v'hoilech. It becomes narrower and narrower, ad sheberoyshe, to the point where at the top, hu dak ma'oid, it comes to a point like, very, very thin. L'hoiro is to show, shehu menanea v'zoyrek tikunim, l'chol mekoimois atzorim v'adakim. To show this symbolism, that this is like a rifle, or that's shooting tikkunim and coming out in like a bullet, you know, from the tip of the lulav, the top of the lulav, that tip, shooting tikkunim to all the different places that these tikkunim need to reach to clean out the sitrachra from there. Gam bahalel nizkar hachnoas hara hakoilel shel shivim umos. And now Rav Nosson Zal points out that even in the Hallel prayer, we mention the defeat of Pegama Bris, this Ra HaKoilel of all 70 nations. When we say, Sabuni, they surrounded me, and B'Shem Hashem Ki Amulam, with the divine assistance, I will slice them away. And the Sifrei Kabbalah bring that the word Amilam has the Mem Lamed in it, Bigimatria Shivim Umos, which is Merames, to the 70 nations. Shezeh Bechinas Mila, just like the word Mila has that Mem Lamed in it, and the letters Yudkei of Hashem's name, showing that this mitzvah specifically is directed towards weakening and defeating all 70 nations. And the Ra, the evil that's a composite of all 70 nations, is Pegama Bris. As is brought in the Sefer Shari Oira, Umila hu bechinas hachnoas hara hakoilel. And we know that the mitzvah of Mila is defeating and subduing this worst evil of shehu hataiva hakloliis, which is the general taiva of Pegama Bris. Kemuva b'maimar tefila lechavakuk. As Rabbeinu Zal speaks about this in chapter 19 in Likutim Ram. Alkein noitlin oz halulav. That's why we hold the lulav and dalav minim during Hallel. Ki hu kli hamelchama kenegdom, because the lulav represents the weapon that we're holding to do battle against the sitrachra. Important to note, my Rebbe Rav Rosenfeld Zal used to stress that according to the Arizal, it's very important that on Sukkos a person should not leave their dalad minim in shul or anything like that, but there's a special inyan of walking through the streets with these dalad minim. Because the Zohar HaKadosh says, man notzach, who is victorious? Man da'ochid, man ekreva biyode, the one who holds his weapons in his hands. So we hold these dalad minim with pride, you know, to show that we believe b'emunah shleima, that as a result of the avodah, of the aseres yemei tshuva, all of our tefillahs and everything, we have succeeded in defeating all the prosecutors against us, and all these 70 nations, and now we're going with pride. Now we can rejoice. Zman Simchasenu on Sukkos. Any questions, please, before we close?
Rabbi, how do we relate to the idea that on the first day of, if the first day of Sukkot falls on Shabbos, then we don't take the lulav and esrog? Like we don't have that tikkun on that first day, which is the most important day.
Sure, Rav Nosson Zal speaks about this in several different places, that there are three mitzvahs: shofar, lulav, and megillah. Shofar, lulav, and megillah. Where on Shabbos, we do not take them. In other words, we don't blow shofar on Shabbos, on Rosh Hashanah. We don't take the Dalet Minim. And the mitzvah of Megillah, we're not allowed to carry. In other words, We don't, Purim doesn't fall out on Shabbos because we're afraid of carrying the Megillah. The first letters of these three words spell the word Sholem. There's a pasuk, Vayovo Yaakov Sholem Ir Shechem. Yaakov Avinu came complete. And there's a lot written in all Sifrei Hasidus, but especially in Likutei Halachos, showing how whatever tikkunim we get from the Shofar, or from the Lulav, from the Dalet Minim, or from the Megillah, Shabbos includes that automatically. The observance of Shabbos accomplishes that tikkun automatically. Somebody pointed out about carrying the lulav, the dalet minim, to and from shul with both hands. What I heard from my rabbi was, it's when you're making the bracha on the lulav, or when any time that you're throughout hallel, or when you're going around the bima, those times. He didn't mention the when you're going to and from shul. Could be sometimes then a person is carrying their talis also or other things. He didn't mention it. If a person can, I'm sure it doesn't hurt. Could be it's a good thing also. I mentioned yesterday lightly that today is Chof Sivan, which some people, the Vad Arba Rotzai has declared it as a fast to commemorate the holy martyrs that were murdered in the years Tach V'Tat. There were pogroms at the time and that went throughout Eastern Europe, and whole communities, men, women, and children, were slaughtered by the Cossacks, Khmelnytsky, these extremely wicked people in 1648, 1649. Reb Shimshon Ostropolia, Reb Yechiel Minemerov, certain outstanding tzaddikim were murdered at that time. And we dedicate again the learning Le'ilui Nishmas, Lechvoid Nishmas, these great kedoshim. We hope that their merit, their Mesiras Nefesh, in dying Al Kiddush Hashem, is what we depend on, what we count on, to help bring about the final Geula Shlema with the coming of Moshiach, the building of the third and final Beis HaMikdash, B'mheirav Yameinu. A wonderful Shabbos to all. All the best.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thanks, Rav Nosson, and a lovely Shabbos.
You too.
Thank you. Shabbos, everybody. Have a good Shabbos. Shabbos.